Hello. Welcome to the show called The Environment. I'm Gene, a volunteer reader with SunSounds of Arizona. I'll be reading articles from the Nature Conservancy magazine, issue number 4 of 2025. This first article is entitled Forever Wild. It was written by Ginger Strand. The subtitle is, in 2008, the Nature Conservancy bought thousands of acres of Adirondack Forest, including the historic Follinsby Pond. And now, part of the area will be open to the public for the first time in 100 years. So here's the article. As I drive around the Adirondacks without a canoe or a kayak on the roof of my car, I feel like a woman without a hat at the Kentucky Derby. Everyone here is only traveling overland between stretches of water. And why not? The lazy oxbows, the reedy inlets, and the braided channels of Adirondack rivers have been attracting paddlers since the Abenaki and Haudenosaunee people used them as transportation. And no river calls out more for a boat than the Raquette River, where Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote of rowing up in his poem, The Adirondacks. He wrote, "Winding through grassy shallows in and out, 2 creeping miles of rushes, pads, and sponge, to Follinsby Water and the Lake of Loons." Well, I'm not surprised when arriving at Follinsby Pond myself to meet a group of scientists, I have the only car without a roof rack. Ravens have built a huge nest under the eaves of a grand but aging lodge that sits near the water's edge. Bat droppings adorn the boathouse entrance, and pine needles have nearly buried an overturned rowboat. This place served as timberland for over 100 years and was privately owned by different families, but it still has a primeval feel. Tom Lake, its caretaker for 55 years, told me, "John, the former owner, told me 3 things. I want the property logged, I want to make money, and don't destroy the place." Well, I did all 3. The property was selectively logged over the years, and the preserved forest helped supply local rivers and ponds with clean water. The calm, cold waters of the storied Follinsby Pond hold a vaunted place in American art and literature, but the pond is also part of a unique interlinked landscape of forest, streams, wetlands, and rare silver maple floodplains. Now, in 2008, the Nature Conservancy bought this vast parcel of land from the estate of the former owner. In addition to Follinsby Pond, the 14,600-acre property includes 10 miles along the Raquette River, a prime paddling waterway that makes up part of the longest inland water trail in the United States. Under private ownership, the left bank of that stretch of the Raquette has been off-limits to paddlers and campers for over a century. It was widely expected that the TNC would sell the land to the state of New York. Instead, to the surprise of everyone, including itself, the TNC concluded that the property needed a special level of management and protection, and so they kept it. In 2024, the Conservancy sold 2 conservation easements to the state. The easements opened part of the parcel to recreational access and designated the rest of it as a freshwater research preserve with managed public access. Michelle Brown, a senior conservation scientist for the Nature Conservancy in New York, said, quote, "We were as surprised as anyone, but we followed the science," unquote. And sometimes the science leads to an unexpected place. The 6-million-acre Adirondack Park, covering 1/5 of New York State, is the largest park in the lower 48 states. But it differs from national parks like Yellowstone or Yosemite and state parks, which are typically set aside for recreation or wildlife. Managed by two state agencies, the park has no gates or entry fees, and it's peppered with small towns, farms, timberlands, businesses, hunting camps, all nestled among the forest, mountains, rivers, and lakes. All told, it is one of the largest tracts of protected wilderness east of the Mississippi. And if it had a heart, it would be right about at Follansbee Pond. Now, Follansbee Pond is not really a pond, but rather a 102-foot-deep lake, slightly larger than Central Park. For the local Abenaki, it was a hunting area, accessed via canoe routes that traversed the Raquette River, the historic highway of the Adirondacks. Ralph Waldo Emerson followed that route on his own famous trip to the area back in 1858, when he and a group of Transcendentalist artists and thinkers visited the pond on a month-long camping excursion that was later dubbed the Philosopher's Camp. A painting of the campers made their Follansbee Lakeshore campsite famous, and tourists sought it out until the 1890s, when a timber company bought the land. In private hands, it became a family retreat, as well as timberland. But now, over a century later, the question for TNC was, what comes next? When the Follansbee property came up for sale, TNC's Adirondacks team was already in the midst of another large land deal. At the time, economic forces were driving paper companies to sell off their logging properties at bargain prices. Well, that's an enticing opportunity for land conservation. So, in 2007, the Nature Conservancy purchased 161,000 acres of former timberlands, structuring the deal so that some lands were ultimately sold to nearby communities for economic development, some were kept as sustainably forested timberlands, and the most unique and recreational valuable were sold to the state. But then, in 2008, the Conservancy closed on the Follansbee property. Well, just about everyone expected the organization to sell it to New York State to become part of the Adirondack Forest Preserve. But with the economy entering a recession, the state had no funds to buy another big parcel. Under no time pressure to transfer the land, the TNC began studying it. Peg Olson, the TNC's Adirondacks director, said, quote, "The delay turned out to be fortunate. We put together a brain trust to brainstorm about the vision for the property's future, and the science shaped our thinking," unquote. To start, TNC hosted a BioBlitz, bringing 50 scientists, geologists, soil scientists, ecologists, fish experts. They brought them onto the land to survey its flora and fauna. What the science showed was that this property wasn't just historically vaunted, it was ecologically significant. The lake in particular held a, quote, "functioning ecosystem that is almost as intact as they come," unquote, said Michelle Brown. Brown is one of a literal boatload of TNC scientists who are showing me around Follansbee Pond. A loon dives into the dark water and bobs up. An osprey glides overhead. But one of the most notable creatures lurks unseen. This lake harbors a population of freshwater lake trout. And not just any lake trout, old growth lake trout, according to past research led by McGill University. Because of the minimal fishing at Follansbee, the trout have been able to grow older than similar trout in other lakes. From the boat, Dirk Bryant, who directs land conservation for TNC in New York, is avidly watching ripple lines of white foam on the lake surface. An experienced angler, he tells me the lake trout can be found underneath those bubbles. The trout's length here can reach 2 to 3 feet. The record one weighed 31 pounds. That's a prized quarry for someone to have been obsessed with fishing since he was 4. And yet Bryant loves the idea of keeping the pond and these fish protected. He said, quote, "The hardest thing for me as an angler was to learn to think differently. But we are thinking about our fisheries in climate change. The lake trout is our timber wolf, our apex predator," unquote. And now he says many of the lakes that used to have the trout don't have them anymore. In fact, a 2024 study found that soon only 5% of the lakes in the Adirondacks will be capable of supporting native populations of trout. That's a tiny fraction, and it's driven down by climate change and development pressure. Follansbee Pond is one of a rare few cool enough and healthy enough to support lake trout. Its bathtub shape and 100-foot depth make it an increasingly important refuge for cold water-loving aquatic creatures. Bryant says, quote, "If you have some intact waters that can support native populations, those are the places that will support adaptation to climate change, as well as providing broodstock for restocking other waters. You don't hunt your wolves in Yellowstone," unquote. Well, it became clear, Brown says, that any fishing could transform the lake. Still, when the Brain Trust floated the idea of protecting the pond as a freshwater preserve, it was a surprise to many. The expectation when TNC bought the Follansbee property was that it would become part of the Adirondack Forest Preserve. That's in which hunting and fishing, camping and paddling are all allowed. Paddling guidebooks, in particular, have been anticipating that the Follansbee parcel would soon be accessible. The Adirondacks team looked for ways to balance protecting the lake with not turning the area into a conservation fortress. Olson said, quote, "There were all these different needs, public access, indigenous access, hunting clubs with leases, the fishery, the town. We wanted to honor and respect all of the stakeholders," unquote. Well, they landed on a compromise. The conservation easements sold to New York State create two distinct areas on the Follansbee property. On nearly 6,000 acres along 10 miles of the Raquette River, one easement creates new public access for hiking, paddling, camping, hunting, and fishing. The other easement protects a nearly 9,000-acre section around Follansbee Pond as a freshwater research preserve, guided by a public-private consortium to collaborate on research and preserve the lake's unique ecosystem. So while making Follansbee a living laboratory, it also provides for indigenous access and managed public access aimed at education. Like the wider Adirondack Park, with its combination of private lands and active towns and protected wilderness areas, it too will be an ongoing experiment in balancing environmental preservation with human communities. Daniel Kanatakaran Fadden tells a group of students as I watch, quote, "In the Iroquois Constitution, the first thing we talk about is the natural world, the things that keep us alive," unquote. Fadden is speaking at the Six Nation Iroquois Cultural Center in Onchiota, New York. That's about 30 miles northeast of Follansbee Pond, to students from nearby Paul Smith's College. Founded by his grandparents, the cultural center is packed with items illustrating the indigenous presence in the Adirondack region. Paintings, maps, pottery, baskets, and beadwork, including a 75-foot long beaded belt telling the story of the founding of the Haudenosaunee or Iroquois Confederacy. It was made by his grandfather Ray and is stunning in its intricacy. Fadden tells me his father recalls when the Akwesasne or Mohawk Indian Territory, about 60 miles northwest of Onchiota, was alive with the sound of mallets hammering the thin splints from ash logs that would be used in making baskets. But as their access to ash trees shrank, and many trees succumbed to the invasive emerald ash borer, those sounds have died away. The Adirondacks have always been considered a shared resource by the Abenaki, Neil Patterson Jr. tells me. Patterson is the executive director of the Center for Native Peoples and the Environment, which is run out of the State University of New York's College of Environmental Science and Forestry. A 1794 treaty between the Six Nations and the fledgling United States sought to establish peace and affirm the land rights of the Native peoples, a clause largely ignored by the American government in later years. But the treaty, Patterson points out, guaranteed the indigenous people free use and enjoyment of their lands. He said, "That's a beautiful phrase. It's been a 200-year struggle, and only now are conservation organizations trying to tear down those walls to provide the free use and enjoyment." The Follansbee Pond easement is the first in New York history to provide for indigenous access to the land, supporting acts like basketry by allowing access to certain tree species, but also seeking to incorporate indigenous knowledge into the scientific understanding of the freshwater preserve. The center, for example, worked with the Conservancy to plan an indigenous-led bioculture bioblitz on the Follansbee property. The region, Patterson tells me, has always been, quote, a place of exchange and trade and life together, unquote. He sees reestablishing that connection to the land itself as critical. Well, day two of the 2025 Adirondack Canoe Classic, a three-day race from Old Forge, New York, to Saranac Lake, it is cold. It rains off and on, even though the year has been exceptionally dry, and some sections of the Raquette River are shallow enough that paddlers must take turns. But still, enthusiasm is high. For nearly 40 years, paddlers have raced these 90 miles, with 10 miles of the river's left bank closed to the public, until now. For the first time in a century, the left bank of the Raquette River is open to public uses like camping, hiking, or simply pausing amid a day of paddling. The Freshwater Preserve, meanwhile, will have tightly managed public access aimed at education, Peg Olson tells me. The Conservancy is partnering with the Wild Center, an interactive museum in Tupper Lake, to develop ways to allow locals and history buffs and others to visit Follansbee Pond in a low-impact way. The Wild Center is a beautiful complex on land abutting the Follansbee parcel. Just off the sunny lobby, I find a large tank full of lake trout, and I stop to admire them. They arrived on glacial meltwater 12,000 years ago, and somehow they look it. I meet Carrie Zeiman, program director for the center at its cafe. We sit near windows overlooking a pond that laps peacefully at the museum's exterior. No one quite knows yet how managed public access in the freshwater preserve will work. Zeiman said, quote, "We're still figuring out what it looks like to keep a preserve, but to bring people in and offer understanding and appreciation," unquote. But then she added, "I see it as being an ultimate experience. I see it as being an intimate experience." Now, intimate experience is not a phrase typically associated with outdoor recreation. And yet, isn't that what everyone wants? Indigenous people reconnecting with their ancestors? Paddlers carving a path through the current? An angler feeling a tug on her line? Everyone is seeking an intimate connection to the natural world. Michelle Brown told me, quote, "Follansbee is ecologically special, recreationally important, and historically relevant. It's this coming together of culture and history and ecology," unquote. So if the Follansbee Pond parcel can offer intimate connection, while also being a refuge for climate-stressed species and a laboratory for furthering scientific understanding of freshwater ecosystems, that will be something very special, perhaps as special as this place itself. And that was the article by Ginger Strand entitled Forever Wild. Well, we don't have time for another long article, but there is a section of the magazine called World View, which has smaller articles on each page, maybe a fourth of the page. So I'm going to read some of those. The first one is, under this worldview section, is called Branching Out. Within Tanzania's Greater Mahale Ecosystem, which supports 90% of the country's endangered chimpanzees, the Nature Conservancy is partnering with local communities to prevent deforestation by establishing forest reserves. More than 1.2 million acres of habitat have been protected so far. The program engages local communities in conservation efforts while providing villagers with opportunities to earn income through eco-friendly enterprises such as beekeeping. Peter Laurie, Terrestrial Conservation Manager for TNC in Africa, said, quote, "These reserves safeguard vital woodland habitat for eastern chimpanzees and other wildlife outside of formal national parks." That was Branching Out. It was written by Pam LeBlanc. Next up is Swamp Things. As the largest blackwater swamp in North America, Georgia's Okefenokee Swamp is an ecological treasure, and the Nature Conservancy and partners are working to keep it that way. 6 years ago, a plan to mine titanium dioxide along the Okefenokee's southeastern boundary raised concerns about potential disruptions to the intricate water flowing into and out of the swamp. Well, since then, a coalition of scientists, citizens, and conservation groups, which includes the TNC, which decades ago provided 15,000 acres to the swamp's protected expanse, well, those groups have fought to stop the project, and that activism has paid off. In June, the Conservation Fund struck a $60 million deal to purchase 8,000 acres that included the proposed mining site, ensuring that the peat-rich wetland, now under consideration for UNESCO World Heritage status, can help sequestering carbon and providing wildlife with a vital refuge. And that was the short article, Swamp Things, written by Lindsay Lyles. Our next little article is entitled Rabbit Revival. For more than a decade, the Nature Conservancy's Beasley Hills Preserve in central Washington has been the epicenter of an effort to save the Columbia Basin pygmy rabbit. Disease, loss of sagebrush habitat, and increasingly frequent wildfires drove the softball-sized bunnies nearly to extinction. With support from TNC, scientists from the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife rounded up the remaining rabbit populations at the preserve for captive breeding and then figured out the best method to safely release them into the wild. Now, with a wild breeding population reestablished at the Beasley site, the TNC has transferred the 9,000-acre preserve to the state to carry on the work. Meanwhile, scientists are applying the lessons learned at Beasley to recover additional pygmy rabbit populations and habitats in the Columbia Basin Wildlife Area. And that was Rabbit Revival by Kristen Weir. This next little article is entitled Tracking Cats. Snow leopards are often called the world's most elusive big cats. But try telling that to the nomadic herding communities of Western Mongolia. Erica Anderson, a conservation information manager with the Nature Conservancy in Connecticut, said, "They see snow leopards all the time and are the best on-the-ground reporters of the animals' activities." In addition to her day job, Anderson is pursuing a graduate degree in Geographical Information Science, GIS. She saw an opportunity to connect the TNC's work in Mongolia to her thesis research. Mongolia is home to the world's second largest population of snow leopards, powerful cats more closely related to tigers than leopards. Their mountainous territories overlap with areas where herders graze sheep and goats, creating a recipe for serious conflict. Nearly a decade ago, to gather population data, TNC scientists began deploying camera traps in the Altay Mountains and fitted three leopards with tracking collars. Anderson tapped that data, layering in information on topographic features like rivers and land use barriers, such as roads, to model likely leopard movement corridors. She also exchanged information with locals, overlaying their herding maps to pinpoint areas where livestock and leopards coexist. And now she's planning to add her map models to a phone app that many herders already use to track their animals. She hopes to add a way for them to report leopard sightings as well. This way, herders can keep their animals out of harm's way, and scientists get more data. Anderson said, quote, "They have all this practical knowledge, and we can support them from the scientific side. It's a great opportunity to blend our skills," unquote. And there's a little note next to the article, by the numbers, 26,000, the average hairs per square inch on a snow leopard's coat. These cats are built for the cold. And that was the short article, Tracking Cats. Well, I have to say goodbye because we're out of time. I'm Gene, a volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I've been reading from the Nature Conservancy magazine, the issue number 4 of 2025, and you have been listening to the show called The Environment. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I hope you keep on listening. Bye for now.